Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Previously on Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah, so I should take that deal, right?
I would get more information on it first.
I think you need some deeds.
Okay, and I head into my room and close the door.
Flint, super weird, right?
Yeah, what was that about?
Flint and Bort, you're not sure how much time passes, but you wake up and you're in a chamber over what looks like a bubbling cauldron. You see a dozen red wizards observing your current state. We have further questions for you.
Nailmitch, do you know that someone has entered Flint's dreams?
That is very troublesome. Tharchian Iseldra Yeh will account for the red wizards and has agreed to aid the factions of the Sword Coast. We shall return to Waterdeep. And you appear back in the teleportation chamber in Waterdeep, with Leosin and Lady Laryl Silverhand entering the room. Welcome to Dungeons and Dragons. We're a D&D 5th edition actual play podcast, and I'm your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore. I said that very slowly and eloquently today. Normally, I speed through it.
I felt like you were at you were slow.
You were at three quarters speed.
Well, yeah. I hear some people like to play podcasts at slow speed, so I'm just helping them out. Also with me today is Amy Moore.
I am here today. I'm at full speed. Full speed ahead. And I've played Thea Amastasia.
And Carla Johnson.
I have only heard of people playing podcasts at faster speeds, never at slower speeds, so I don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to be at regular speed, though, playing Nulara Moonbrook.
Sometimes I like to play them slow just to hear the people, how they'd sound if they were really drunk.
Slurry.
That's kind of fun.
Yeah. And last but not least, Tom Laird.
Yep, that's me. I know you can't hear this, but I shaved my beard off, and it was weird.
Actually, you know what? I can kind of hear it.
Oh, you can?
People can probably hear it. Normally, there's a slight rustling.
Okay, yeah. Oh, and I play Flint Firebeard.
That's all the woodland creatures that have made a home in there. That's what that is.
Tom usually has a big beard. And now, this is the first time any of us have seen him with no beard. And it's pretty crazy. He looks great.
He's pretty much a 13-year-old boy.
But he looks like a little tiny baby. His skin is flawless. It's crazy.
Thank you.
You never know what's under that beard.
You really have no idea until you hack it all off.
Some of that hair must have been months and months old.
Yeah.
Because I assume you trim it. So I was going to say years old, but it'd have to be down to your knee. Yeah.
The stuff it around my chin was pretty long. So it had been a while.
I feel for continuity, this episode comes out on December 12th. You're going to have to shave it again on December 12th.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, just post the picture on December 12th and then we'll be good.
Was there a reason why you did it?
No, it had been, I guess the reason was it had been so long since I'd done it that I could not actually remember the last time that I'd done it.
So you couldn't even remember what your own face looked like.
I had no idea.
Without a beard. You needed to know underneath it all. So is this the real you, or is Tom with the beard the real you?
Right. Don't farmers burn their crops every now and then to make sure they come back stronger in the future?
You didn't burn it off, did you?
No,
is that not how you shave nowadays?
Did you burn off all your hair? I'm confused. Also, I don't think farmers just burn all their crops. I think that's counterproductive.
Well,
I think
say
some education
crops.
Needs to happen here.
No, you spot burn.
We're not farmers. Despite you guys living in Alberta and Amy
Welcome
working
to
on
our
a
podcast.
Ranch, we don't know about farm things.
Actually, I know a lot about chickens.
Okay.
Yeah, we do know kind of a lot about farming things.
And goats. Had a pretty big vegetable garden.
A lot of my family had farms growing up, so.
I have milked cows.
My dad would be super sad about my lack of knowledge about farms.
I got knocked off a donkey when I was a kid.
Scarred him for life.
Yeah, and I don't ride things now. Just in general. It's a rule.
Okay.
Yep.
Like,
you know where you can see a picture of Tom without a beard is over on Patreon. Patreon.com/dumbdragoncast for all...
For one,
all your shaving needs. Who knows? Next month, $1. Who knows what else? It's going to be a picture of my leg, and it'll be like, Amy finally shaved her leg. And it'll just be a picture of my leg.
You know what?
Yours will be your chest.
What I'll do is I'll just post that one to public so that if you just go to the site, check out the other stuff, but you'll see Tom's face without a beard.
Okay.
For free.
That's
free. No charge.
First beard free face is free. The rest.
You gotta pay for the rest.
Yep.
You gotta pay for my not hairy leg.
Something else you get on Patreon when you're a patron is an episode dedicated to you. Like today's episode dedication, which has Brad.
Brad
from
Brad
Fate of Ison podcast.
Is it time to read another review? Because we got another review that came in the other day. And I think we should read it.
Let's do it now.
So we got a lovely review from 1987 Chucky from New Zealand.
Great year, by the way.
Right? Russ and the players are just an absolute joy to listen to. The funny intros to each episode and the bloopers at the end are a great way to bookend the fantastic role-playing in the middle. It's definitely in my favorites.
Aww.
That's so nice. I feel like I'm a little bit, like, verklempt about it.
You're verklempt. You get a little misty.
Yeah, it's just I can't believe
there's something in your eye.
You know, like us, take the time to write that they like us. It blows my mind.
I think we need more confidence. I think we need to go to a confidence workshop.
I don't know.
Because we're always like, oh God, we're such a pile of hot, like on fire garbage.
I think we're a delight. I love spending time with you. You're some of my favorite people in the whole world. I just can't believe that. Like, moves beyond us to strangers on the other side of the world.
I think Carla's totally right, because, I mean, the amount of times that I've written an iTunes review of something, I can probably count on one hand. So whenever people do actually do it, it's, like, mind-blowing to me.
Yes.
Well, and it feels so good. Like, let's call to action right now for our listeners here. Like, go out, and it could be for us. It could be just for something else you listen to. It could, you know, whatever. But go out and leave a review for something you love, because guaranteed you are going to make that person's day.
Yes.
Or those people's day.
I like that idea.
Unless it's a bad review. Don't go out of your way to harass someone with a review. I mean, you can, like, you know, ironically leave a bad review.
Oh, God, please. Nobody be ironic.
Yeah.
Who's listening? We're just covering bases.
Just be earnest, please. The world needs more earnest.
And I mean,
like,
short
earnest,
of that,
scared, like, stupid.
Find someone you like on Twitter and just tweet them that, like, hey, I really like your stuff. And it doesn't have to be any more than that.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice. Let's spread some positivity. Ooh. That makes me happy.
Yeah. And then, tell us you did it and hashtag spread the good feels.
You probably want to check and see if that's an actual.
I probably should.
Hashtag.
We can always fix it.
Otherwise, there's going to be a whole lot of hashtags.
Closely associated with the Proud Boys. That is an unexpected turn.
I mean, I don't know how they made that a hashtag about
them.
Twitter.
Yeah, you go to Twitter.
I go to Twitter.
Clearly don't go to Twitter enough on your computer.
Oh, no.
Who goes to Twitter on a computer?
I do. You search Twitter,
hashtag.
And then you search hashtag spread the good feels or whatever you said.
Welcome to our IT Twitter-related podcast.
Huh? No results.
All right, you can go.
It's ours now.
Spread the good feels.
Go spread the good feels, you guys. Spread them around.
Yeah. What did we do once we see that they've spread the good feels?
I don't know. We revel in the fact that just a little piece of our podcast has spread some joy out into the world that's gone beyond listening to the podcast.
Okay, I was going to say I'd send you stickers.
Oh,
No, that's fine. I mean,
the joy thing was totally fine too.
Amy's thing stands.
Sorry, everyone. So you don't get stickers because Amy. Right.
You could have got stickers, but Amy didn't make that decision. So spread the good feels.
Not starting now, obviously.
Fuck it, let's play D&D. You've arrived back in Waterdeep, and you're in the same teleportation chamber you left with Nye Ilmich. The illuminated runes are beginning to fade, as is the haze filling your vision.
Is it purple haze?
After only a few moments, Leosin and Lady Laryl Silverhand enter the room, nervous at first and then relieved to see the five of you there. Lady Silverhand speaks before you have the chance, and she says, "I'm pleased to see your swift return, and seeing Nye Ilmich here with you tells me what I must know for the moment. The Council is gathering to discuss your final quests and to determine our final count and plan for attack on the Well of the Dragons." She turns and begins walking out down the halls towards the Council chamber. Leosin waves his hand for you to follow, and if you do, he closes the door behind you, sealing the teleportation chamber as you exit.
And if we don't?
Then we just...
Too late.
I guess we live in the teleportation chamber now.
He just closes the chamber and walks away, and that's it.
Yeah. No, not coming
here. Slowly suffocate. Right. Who knows if Tiamat rises?
Well, we'll take you off the list. It's fine.
There is a bleak feel in the halls of Castle Waterdeep. It's an overcast day, and the sound of heavy rain echoes through the long, empty halls. The air feels thick. You pass by several windows, and the city sounds eerily calm. And from what you can see through brief glimpses, the people piled into Waterdeep have taken refuge under awnings and squeezed into any building they can. You see, perched atop the high walls that surround Waterdeep, Protanther, Eleuthera, Otarelia Karnos, Nymir, and Tasmakella, the Council of the Metallic Dragons. You finish your long walk towards the Council chambers, and Lady Laryl has already entered. Leosin skips ahead of you and announces to the chamber, "Ladies and gentlemen, new Lara Moonbrook, Flint Firebeard, Thea Amastasia, and Nye Ilmich have returned from Thay to discuss plans of our final move on the Cult of the Dragon at the Well of the Dragons."
I wave around like wanted to bust in there, like, you know, first string of a basketball team.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Onthar Froom gives a hearty wave back.
Oh, nice, yeah. I also waved at the metallic dragons.
They are sitting outside the city.
I know, I actually wanted to interrupt you, but I didn't.
Yeah,
as I passed, I waved vigorously, embarrassingly vigorously.
I know them! I know them!
Guys, it's Thea! You threatened us that one time.
We didn't really get
that super awkward meeting.
But I think you're really cool.
You're number one fan.
Leosin ushers you to four open seats.
I skip ahead.
Does Donnie need a seat, or does Donnie just kind of hang out?
I never
know what happens with Donnie. Okay.
Does he push your chair in for you?
Oh, that's nice.
I imagine him to be like really sweet.
I like that.
I think he's, because he's bigger now, like it's still pretty new that he is bigger. So I think he is kind of, you know, doing things like that he couldn't do when he was just
a little
guy.
Is he a little clumsy too? Like he turns around and his tail like knocks over a chair and then he's like, oh God, no. And he goes to get it and he knocks a side table over and he's like, oh God.
It's real comedy.
I'm a little dragon in a big dragon's body. That's what I imagine. Anyway, I take a seat.
I think we all do.
Mm-hmm. As everybody sits down, Leosin speaks up again. He said, "Word has come that hundreds of chromatic dragons have gathered, and as discussed, today's session will decide who among us will pledge their resources in stopping the Cult of the Dragon's plans to bring Tiamat back to this world." Lady Silverhand stops him and says, "Before we get to that, our stalwart heroes have returned from their quests and have much to discuss. What can you tell us of your travels to Xanthal's tower and the hopes of bringing back the blue dragon mask?"
Oh, Leosin didn't update you guys on that because we told them.
I mean, I kind of mentioned, but they didn't really understand what I was telling them.
It was a big trap. Didn't go well. We didn't get the mask.
Yeah. Bottom line, no mask.
Yeah. It was a fake mask, though.
So that was great. Learned a lot, though. Lots of personal growth happened in that maze.
We personally grew to despise mazes.
Yep.
I lost my owl for a while. That was pretty scary, but we found her. Oh, we got these too. And I reach into my bag and I pull out one of the giant diamonds. These could be helpful. They're teleportation diamonds.
Okay.
So in Xanthal's tower, there's these giant
tower. Come on, you know the word. There you go.
God.
Every time.
I know, I love it.
I like curvy thing.
You know, like a sexy watch. Like a sexy fashion
sexy
watch.
Upright watch.
You know, a watch with a real nice waist and hip situation.
Got that silhouette. Ooh.
Ooh. You know, one of those silhouette watches. So anyway, in the tower, we teleported all over the place with this weird little elevator situation thing. And we found these really big hourglasses. Good for me. And when you turn them, they supposedly control time and space and all sorts of things like that that Xanthal was interested in. However, it was really, really old and unused, but we busted them open, and it turns out when you throw one of these, or toss it, or catch, I suppose, one of these diamonds, the catcher transports to where the thrower is. No, where the person who catches it
has nothing to do with. It's just you throw it up and where you're looking, you go.
Okay, I say that.
Where you think you want to go, you go.
Well, I know, but I threw it at one point, or someone threw
That's
it.
Yeah,
but
someone then
caught it, and then they transport it.
Sure.
I'm just saying, it's showing a much better like use of it, too. If someone's in a pickle, you throw them a...
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, don't throw them a pickle. That's not going to help their situation.
That'd be weird, right? You look like you're hungry.
So do you understand how these things work, then?
Yeah, it's magic.
All right. I am well-versed in magic.
Good. No one wants to sound like an idiot and say they don't understand magic. Who are you, sir?
I've been at every council meeting thus far.
Well,
you just
never
asked
yet
my name
spoken.
Now. My name is Tern Thunderspells Hornblade.
It's a mighty strong name you have there, sir.
Yes.
Yes.
Miss Anastasia.
Yeah. So we could possibly use these in a battle. It could be a very big surprise, a sneaky advantage that we have. So that was a positive that came out of that entire waste of time.
Another older human male, the long handlebar, like white mustache, speaks up. He's wearing very exquisitely done armor. He says, "So you made it into Xanthal's tower."
We did.
Yeah,
I must not be saying it right.
We
you
got
guys
through that
over.
Maze. We made it in the tower. We got the quote-unquote dragon mask, but it was a fake.
There's hushed whispers throughout the chamber.
I lean over to Nulara and I go, "Did I say it wrong the first time?"
No, we both already said we didn't get the math. They got so excited about your teleportation diamonds, they just stopped listening, I guess.
Shiny objects.
The same man who you know as Sir Istval He continues talking and he says, "What you have is now under the rights of the land, ownership of Zonthal's tower."
I'm sorry, what?
Like finders keepers, like we found it?
Because we beat the maze? Do we have squatter's rights? Because we're not there squatting currently.
Yes, I see that. What I'm saying is Zonthal's tower is not something that people just walk up to and take. You hold within your minds the key to get into the tower. Therefore, you have rights to the tower.
Well, it would be a pretty good, like, summer home.
Very private.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale! Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
No solicitors.
You hear among the other members in the chamber numbers being tossed around.
42, 78, no. 169.
Through context clues, you can figure out monetary values at which they would place to own such a property.
Oh. It turned into storage wars.
Sir Istval speaks up and he says, "Be wary who you sell such a thing to, if you were to sell it."
Well, we probably wouldn't, because there's that Taraz the Fair in there, so we don't want him falling into the wrong hands.
Of course. Who's Taraz the Fair?
Well, he's not fair at all.
Oh.
No, he's, what was he, an elemental?
He was a real dick, is what he was.
he was, yeah. Doesn't matter what he is.
He also, dead. Didn't really seem to have any idea how chess worked, but.
Interesting. Fair enough. The whispers continue among the group. And Lady Laryl Silverhand speaks up and says, "Sorry, so the blue dragon mask, it was a fake."
Correct.
And Leosin, does somebody have the mask that was given to you, or was there a, like...
Do I still have it on my person, Russ?
No, we gave it to I don't know. We were going to give it to the dragon.
He handed
and
it
then
back to
you. Yeah, but then he like tossed it back to us and was like, "What do I want with this piece of wood, you doinks?"
Yeah. Exactly. So
if I have it, I'll pull it out of my rucksack and... it's right here. Who wants this?
Lady Laryl Silverhand, she extends her hand and says, "I will take it, and even though we believe it to be fake, we will test it with our own wizards and see if there is anything that can be salvaged from it."
I walk over and give it to her. And, "Well, I hope you get something out of this."
"I hope so, too. And of your most recent mission to Thay. I assume by the fact that Nyilmich is back with you that means they are here to assist us."
Yeah.
Tharchan Azeldrayeth has promised an undead army. So that's good.
Nyilmich speaks up. the Red Wizards as well.
So they don't seem like people that will really want, like, hanging around after we stop Tiamat. Just going to say that now.
Mm.
But, you know, currently we have a common enemy, so I think they will be very helpful. They seem very powerful.
That is what I hoped. And she is interrupted by both Sir Istval and Ambassador Bronnenville of Mithril Hall. Both stand up and say, we should not have these wizards with us. We do have a common enemy, yes, but in your own words, you said we should not trust them, no?
We're a little divided on this, because you guys, I kind of agree with you. I'm not going to lie, they did some sketchy shit to our friend Flint over here. Pulled some straight grade A baloney in his dream world, and it wasn't cool. And how can you trust someone who does that? Also, what happens, you guys, when we defeat Tiamat and then we have this big undead army in the midst of a ruined Faerun, just primed to be taken over by another big bad?
Ambassador Bronnenville says, exactly! God damn it! This is what I told you, Silverhand! And she says, what we need is to save Faerun. They have pledged their wizards. They have pledged their army. Our armies outweigh theirs. When we win, everyone will go their separate ways. It is part of the arrangement. You three made it back. I don't know what happened, but it was the arrangement that you would go and you would come back. I'm sorry if something happened to you, Flint Firebeard.
It seemed like they were just trying to understand our motivations more than anything, but they went about it just the completely wrong way. Also, I'm not too smart with, like, our plans, so really they picked the wrong person.
We got more out of New Lara.
Oh, but I got so much more.
I hear she's the one who keeps the notes.
You damn right.
But she rolled the highest. She rolled the highest. Nevertheless, they are an ally that knows some of the motivations and abilities of those that we are fighting. Ambassador Bronnenville and Sir Istval grumble as they sit back down.
I never stood up to begin with.
In fact, he is just, like, super cash. She's, like, sitting sideways on her chair, like, arm on the back.
Actually, I flipped it around,
oh,
and
shit.
I'm sitting backwards on the chair.
Yeah, you
just
did.
Really.
Turned your hat around
talk.
And was like, let's get real for a minute.
It's some real talk. Yeah. Let's get real, you guys.
Let me tell you about Zaztam. He might seem like a real cool dude, but in fact,
he's the devil. Here's your
This is your brain.
Bible.
This is your brain after Zaztam.
Zaztam.
I had an Extreme Teen Bible, FYI.
Amazing.
Because you were a super rad Christian girl.
You bet I was, taught Sunday school. If only God could see me now.
Oh, he can, my dear.
I mean, that's the whole idea, is that he can, right?
Well, I guess so.
Mm-hmm.
All these runes I've painted all over the place,
The old ones are supposed to keep me safe from him.
All these goats I've been sacrificing, I thought for sure I was...
For what?
Anywho.
It's got away from us.
It did. I apologize.
Always does.
Yeah.
While the wizards are unpredictable, they are necessary. And if that sways any of the factions from assisting us, then we will have to address that when that time comes. So they have given us an army of wizards and undead, is what they have said. Yes?
Yes.
Yes.
Finally, the metallic dragons, as you have seen, have been distributed among Faerun. Their forces are protecting some of the last strongholds throughout the land. The leaders are here waiting for further direction as to our final attack and when that will happen. We are to decide now who will give their support. Everyone is welcome to go discuss amongst themselves, and we will reconvene
like super right away.
Like super right away. Very soon. Very soon. Everyone gets up and goes. Some leave the room, some just move to talk in a corner.
And my chair makes like a really loud screeching noise on the floor, like unexpectedly loud when I get up, and I look a little embarrassed.
I realize I can't quite get up very well because the chair is rather wide. And I'm like trying like wide leg squat backing up.
Yeah, like doing that shimmy back.
Nothing elegant about it. So I think like we're in it.
Oh, I didn't even think we 100%. Really need to talk about it. We've been doing all of this for this express purpose. I assumed we're in it till the end. Right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not doing anything else.
I mean, it's the inevitable rise of Tiamat, so
exactly.
No use fighting it. We gotta get there.
Thea, I thought you looked really cool when you sat backwards on the chair like that.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
It was a power move. I wanted to just come in and own the place, but I think I pulled, like, my hammy.
Ooh.
Oh.
Maybe, like, a groin muscle.
Oof. I mean, that's the good thing is I don't think everyone was already in their conversation, so I don't really think anybody like saw the dismount too much other than us. So that's good. That's good. Thank you. It wasn't the best part.
What was the best part? Tell me again.
Well, when you flipped the chair around initially, that was the best part.
Well, did you see that I had it up on only one leg and did like a little
360
spin first? Amazing. Yeah, no, it's pretty rad.
It's a real baller move.
You guys have any guesses?
And rad. Oh. I made that word up, by the way. It means required a lot of dexterity.
Ooh. I like it.
I like that.
I like it. You guys got any guesses? Actually, two things I want to talk about. Any guesses as to who's going to cop out last minute? Among these suckers in this room, council chamber, where we definitely remember all the people that are here. Sub point, we own Zonthal's tower now?
Yeah, isn't that weird? That's I don't want to cool. sell it, though. I think we should crash pad, like, all the way.
Yeah, I mean...
We clean that place up?
I think, hopefully we agree.
Get the dead bodies out of there.
Let's just wait to make any decisions about the tower until after Tiamat. Let's one thing at a time, right?
Sure.
Real estate?
Yeah. Or no.
Buying and selling and owning new real estate can be very stressful. So let's just wait.
Maybe we could get those monks that specialize in renovating properties. You know, the property brothers. Maybe we could get them in there. You know, fix it up a little bit for us.
As you're discussing whether to flip or sell or what have you. You are approached by a tiefling who you recognize from previous sessions, and she comes up to you, and she is very dark purple skin, very red-brown hair, horns, dresses all in black, and she comes up to you and says, "Oh, so you're the new owners of Zonthal's Tower."
Apparently so.
Yeah, I mean, it's new to us, but... Yeah.
I don't know if we've met before.
I know we've seen you here, but mm-hmm. I don't recall your name if we have met. I apologize. I'm New Lara.
Yes, nice to meet you, New Lara. Ryan Nightshade is my name. Thea and Flint, obviously.
Nice to meet you, Ryan.
Yeah, nice to meet you, Ryan.
Yeah, we haven't talked to most people here. We get talked at and then sent off a lot, so...
It sounds like you should try and make a little more chit-chat. You know, just trying to be a little friendlier.
Well, everyone's here like super stressed out.
Yeah, no, totally.
It's true. There's always a bunch going on.
They're flip-flopping lunatics is what they are.
I got some cookies that would help with that.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Well, maybe we can talk later. Let me just be upfront with you here. I'm part of the Zentarum. Do you know much about the Zentarum?
I have a feeling like it has something to do with Zonthal's Tower.
Not yet.
Oh. Not yet. No, I don't believe we know about the Zentarum, is it?
Zentarum. Would you like to make a history check and see if you know anything about the Zentarum?
Oh, I would love to.
Rolling dice. 16 plus 7.
I don't care how good it is. I'm still rolling my dice. I don't care. I mean, I'm really happy you got a good roll, but I rolled a 2.
Take it away, Amy.
So you know that the Zentarum, which is also known as the Black Network, is a loose affiliation of merchants, mercenaries, and malefactors.
It's a lot of M's there. I like the alliteration.
That's right. Common folk know the Zentarum as the people to talk to when you need the best guards or mercenaries money can buy. And if your cargo is somewhat shady, they're the ones to ask the least questions. That's what you know of
them. Like black market type mobster.
Now, what
kinda
if...
kind of like a mafia.
What if your cargo is just parasols?
What if it's just... what if your cargo is all cargo pants?
Oh, shit.
No questions. For the right
price,
because
that's
a
lot of cargo pants. You should really ask some questions.
You know what? I would equate the Zentarum to kind of being like the transporter, Jason Statham. You know?
Okay.
They get paid.
So just give them some
Orangina
and you're good to go.
Never look in the trunk.
Very handsome.
Don't talk to
them. Ruggedly handsome, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hello there. I'm your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore. Thanks for joining us for episode 66 of Dungeons & Dragons. Anyone know the Property Brothers? As we're working on closing out 2018, I don't really have a lot to say right now, other than that you are amazing. Thank you for coming with us on this wild journey. We'll be celebrating 2 years on January 3rd of Dungeons & Dragons being available. We've been getting close to 50,000 downloads. We've launched merchandise this year. We have an amazing community on Patreon. And the biggest thing is we get to share it all with you, the most wonderful people in the world, as far as I'm concerned. If there's anywhere that you haven't joined us but would like to know more about, visit our website, dumbdragons.com, where you can find out about us, where you can go to find more about the Patreon community, and all of our social media channels, which I will admit we've been a little quiet on lately. Sorry for that. We're working towards the holidays, which is a crazy time for everyone, but we're also working towards ways for you to be more involved with us and easier ways for you to be able to find us and talk to us and share with us and the community around the podcast. So, like I mentioned last week, in 2019, we'll be launching the Dungeons & Dragons Discord server to the public. It's currently available to patrons of Dungeons & Dragons, and there will be some new awesome things coming to Patreon and the podcast in general. It's going to be awesome. We're very excited for it. Once more, all the links to everything you could want to check out are over on our website, dumbdragons.com. So go check it out, and we hope to see you in the adventure. If you got a note for us, send us an email, dumbdragonpodcast@gmail.com. We love hearing from you, and we respond to anyone and everyone who sends us a note. And a big thanks to Sirenscape for some of the amazing atmosphere in today's episode. Make sure you check them out at sirenscape.com to bring your games to life. Links for everything mentioned today can be found in the description. The next episode will be out Wednesday, December 19th. We'll be continuing the story next week. And then on December 26th and January 2nd, to celebrate winter solstice, we'll be doing a 2-episode fun side story that we really hope you enjoy. We had a ton of fun playing it. Let's get back to the council chambers, though, and see what's happening. Have a great week. We'll talk soon.
With Kizik hands-free shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy-on, easy-off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This episode is brought to you by Bai. It's Wonder Water. What makes Bai so great? It's simple. From raspberry lemon lime by Sydney Sweeney to Zambia Bing Cherry and Palavo Pineapple Mango, Bai has antioxidants, electrolytes, and no artificial sweeteners. So for flavorful hydration, choose Bai. It's Wonder Water. Learn more about Bai and discover all of the exotic, bold flavors at drinkbai.com.
Got killer timing when delivering lines.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of the Zentarum. You guys have a very specific client base, don't you?
Anyone and everyone? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, really, that's the target market you got to go for if you want to succeed these days.
Pretty
good point, Dwarf.
Very discreet. Mm-hmm. Is what I've heard.
Yes.
And you're
are my friends getting my
tower,
like double or... entendre hits here and like my
yes, yeah, see
double entendre was the wrong word. I need to back up a sec. I don't like it when I use the wrong word.
Okay,
when I'm describing stuff. It really bothers me. They'd be like, oh Jesus, she doesn't know what a double entendre means. I do know.
Okay, what do you want to say? You want me just to cut it out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Fuck, shit, fuck.
I'll cut out what you said, but then leave in the fact that you messed up what you said.
No, that's weird. You can do that.
We can have a contest to be like, if you know what Amy fucked up, write in.
What do you think she fucked up?
You have me pegged. I'm here to talk about Zonthal's Tower. And what I'm here to discuss, I mean, is... The Black Network, Zentarum, is willing to act immediately on all things here. But if we can come to agreeable terms, we can solidify that support.
Oh my god. Guys, can we make a group announcement about the Zonthal's Tower? Because I have a feeling like this is not the only offer we are going to get in exchange for loyalty.
Also, I mean, if your business model is everyone and anyone, then you want more people alive in order to take advantage of your services, correct? Not less people?
That's true. Yeah,
basically,
that's true.
You know what? I think you're right, Thea. How about group announcement? Group announcement. Can we, like,
is there a town crier that we can sign?
I climb up on the table.
You don't want to hear my offer before you clink your glasses.
I mean, I just think at this rate, probably not. Like, we should just nip this one in the bud, and that'll be that.
All right.
Wow. We're sticking to our guns. I climb up onto the big boardroom table, the council table.
The circular council table?
Excuse me. I'll wait.
Everybody who's in the room, because some people left the room, but everybody who's in the room turns to look at you.
Hey, sorry to interrupt. However, I feel like we have to say that if anyone is planning on approaching us to talk about using Zonthal's Tower as a leverage point for loyalty, you can just shove it right now. Because we are not looking to sell the tower to the highest bidder for the fate of Faerun. You are here regardless. Do what you want to do. The tower is not for sale. Have some morals and some ethics, people. That is all.
And I kind of bang my axe on the ground like, totally. Yeah!
Down my hand.
Me?
Okay.
Everybody looks amongst themselves and says, all right.
Is there any corners of the room that there was an audible like, oh, man.
No, just play. She says, all right, you've made yourself known. And she begins to walk away and talks to someone else.
I think we did the right thing, but I'm totally curious.
Me too, but morally, I think we made a good decision.
Yeah.
We are talking about the end of the world. Let's...
Yeah, what does a piece of property matter? Let's deal with the end of the world first.
Yeah.
Okay.
This guy.
He's like, okay. I just wanted to tell you the goddamn offer.
No, it's fine. You didn't want to know the offer.
Well, we might have been swayed if we found out what the offer was. So, like,
see,
best
that's
to just
why
shut
it's
it down.
Best, exactly. Best that we are not tempted.
That's very true to our characters. So, good for us. Even though Tom, Amy, and Carla really...
We want that
really
money.
Really want to know. Can you tell us later what the offer was?
Nope.
Oh, I hate you so much right now.
Probably had a whole...
Their knowledge, character knowledge. Anyways.
Like later, like in like 2 years real time.
God. Yeah, like in Seattle.
Yeah,
could you?
Yeah sure.
Or like in 2 months real time.
2 years. Whatever. Yeah, like Seattle. Okay, or 2 months.
Maybe in like 20 minutes. It's fine, guys. Everybody make a perception check.
Okay. Oh, no.
Also, oh, no.
11, and I rolled a 2.
I got a 4.
I got a 24. Nope, 26. Math is hard.
Guys, what if my ability to get good rolls was somehow, like, in tandem with my beard?
Might have been.
No.
I mean, so far, that's checking out.
But it'll be back before we really need them.
This
right?
is true. This is true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Super Perceptor over there.
You talking to me?
Yeah, Flint. No, Nulara, you're at this point kind of just waiting for everybody to return to the room, and you know, you put your hands in your pockets and you find something inside your pocket that you didn't think was there before. You pull it out and it is
it's a motherfucking business card.
It's an offer, and you can't refuse it. No.
So wait, Nulara has one hand in her pocket. What's your other hand doing,
Is the other one
Nulara?
Hailing a taxi cab?
Or like throwing up a peace sign? What's happening here?
We're about to find out. He's going to tell me. I've got one hand in my pocket, and one hand is holding a...
human finger bone.
Whoa. Oh, boy.
Oh. Wow.
Tied to...
I was not tied... expecting that.
That song would be more terrible.
A no, human finger bone.
More terrible is exactly correct.
Also, can we get that song on the Spotify playlist, please?
That'd be great, yeah.
Human finger bone tied to a loop of dried gut.
And ooh, do Nulara, I know... Nulara, what do you have in your fucking pockets? Clean your pants. Good God.
This was not here before. But it's okay, because I totally know what this means as I roll another amazing something check. Wait, was I percepting to see if I knew there was something in my pocket? Because that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I do a, like, history check? What would make sense?
Sure.
Because, if this is, like, a thing that means something. Is this a horse's head in my bed? Like, do I know what this means?
Is this a black rose on her doorstep?
I give you either history or arcana.
Okay, let me see what I'm better at.
But, like, natural world.
It's a tie. Critical fail.
Ooh.
So I don't think I even know it's a finger bone. I think I'm useless.
You look at it and you're like, what? What is this?
You guys, can I roll to see if I know what that is?
Yeah, because of course I'm like, you guys already saw it, right? Like, what? This was not in my pocket, you guys. I don't know what this is.
18.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it and you think it could be part of some sort of spell components.
Oh my God. Nulara, how long has this been in your pocket?
I think just now. I don't know. Can you detect magic on it? Like, tell me if it's magic. Am I cursed?
I
already have a fucking dagger that's plaguing my waking nightmare of a life. Tell me what this finger is about.
Hey, finger bone. You magic?
Huh? Yeah.
You magic? Yeah.
I hold it and I say, hey, finger bone. Magic?
Yeah, it is definitely magic.
Cool.
How much does detect magic give you? I know it's like all of it, but what exactly?
It tells me the school of magic. It tells me...
It tells me 100% of the info that I want to know.
Faint aura around. I learn the school of magic, if any. Yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So, Nulara, I think... I mean, I'm just going to go out on a limb here. I think someone might be trying to cast a spell on you, maybe a curse.
It's the school of magic is abjuration. It's an abjuration spell.
Well,
yeah, I know.
Like, do you guys? I'm like looking in my other pocket. Like, is this just me? Do you have anything?
Yeah. You search your pocket, and you don't have anything in there. But if you go further through your bags, you find this same human finger bone with a dried loop of dried gut in your satchel, your bag.
Son of a bitch!
Now, I'm assuming after seeing these two find these things, I also find one?
You sure do, in your pants pocket.
Damn it.
Is Leosin still in the room?
He is, yeah.
Hey, Leosin, come here. He's smart. He always knows what the fuck's going on.
As you call Leosin, you see you catch the eye of Nye Ilmich, and she rushes over to you and closes your hand on the human finger bone. And she says, that is protection from the Red Wizards.
Please clarify, protection from the Red Wizards, or the Red Wizards are protecting us
providing
from something else?
You, the Red Wizards are providing you protection.
Ah.
It will act, when activated, as a scroll of protection from undead.
Okay.
Okay.
Why weren't we told we were given these?
And why, if we're on the same side, would we need protection from the undead? I'm very uncomfortable now, Nihil Mitch.
You don't need protection from the undead being provided in the army. You need protection from the Wed Wizards.
The Wed Wizards.
From the Wed Bandits. They are child killers, and they are coming for you.
They are bloodthirsty child killers.
You need protection from the exiles, who right. could also be raising undead at the Well of the Dragons, where they raise undead dragons.
Right, that seems okay. Like that would be very problematic.
Well, thank you, but I still don't understand why the protection had to be a secret. If anything, it probably would have developed a better bond between us.
Tharchian Iseldra, Yeth likes to surprise people.
Put finger bones in people's pockets?
It's like a little, like, going away present.
Before she became the vampire she is today, she was a real prankster gangster.
You've been ronded.
Okay, Russ, we need a backstory about how she is a prankster gangster.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Because she did seem like a pranky thing. Kind of gal.
No.
When we met her.
She likes to just, you know, provide her help.
In the creepiest, surprisingest way possible.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah. So to activate it, you snap it in half.
Like this is like a wishbone, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Exactly like a wishbone.
It's unfortunate.
A human finger.
That we're going to completely, completely forget that we need to do this. Guys, somebody write a note.
Well, I'm gonna put it in my items and then put finger bone, snap it.
Bop
finger
it.
Bone.
Snap.
Bop it.
Twist it.
Was it twist it? Was it pull it?
Pull it. Bop
Skip it.
Twist it. I don't think it was dip it.
Pass it.
Dip it.
Fail and throw it on the ground in an angry rage and storm out of the room.
It snaps on the ground and protects that flower that was right there.
So protection from undead is what you get, right, Russ?
Yes, sir. It acts as a scroll of protection from undead. Yep.
Okay, got it.
I wrote finger
right
bones.
Next to my Lucky Lou.
Oh yeah. Leosin comes over and is like, yeah? What's up?
Just wanted to say hi, see how you're doing. You think people are gonna be on board here? Because I hope so.
Initial cruises around the room, things seem good. There were a few groups that left to go discuss. Uncertain about their stance. So it's a real toss-up, but it's looking good.
Great.
It's two big thumbs up.
Great. Thanks, Leosin.
Yeah.
I think we're going to be, like, reconvening here sometime soon.
As you say that, Lady Laryl Silverhand speaks up and says, if we could have everybody return to the table.
Is it like in a theater where they play that little chime noise to send everyone back in?
Bing.
She flicked the lights off and on.
Yep.
intermission is over.
Yeah, she gets her squires to run around the room and snuff the candles and then relight them and then snuff them and then relight them.
I mean, people are magic, Russ. Your way's funnier, but...
Yeah. Everybody comes back to the table and she says, "So where do we stand?"
Music in today's episode was by Kevin MacLeod of incompetech.filmmusic.io.
Leosin speaks up again. He said, word. And then he leaves. No.
After a brief timeout.
After a brief checking on the five-year-old.
Can you hear all my dice rolling?
I can. It sounds like a lot of them.
Just getting it all out of my system.
Okay.
We have a council meeting. There's not going to be a lot of dice rolling.
I was like, do we get to fight? And he's like, you are going into the biggest battle of your life. And I was like,
So big.
Right?
So like a political battle? Great.
Yep.
Great.
It's a lot of like...
It's going to be a battle of words.
It's a lot of episode one Phantom Menace trade talks.
Yeah. Memes.
Like a lot of... Do you remember talking to this person kind of questions from council members for us to be like,
maybe it could be a rap battle.
And we're like, do trains exist in this world?
Dum-dums.
Who? Okay, Amy, if it was a rap battle, if I was listening to our podcast, that sounds great. As the ones creating it, do you think that's a good idea?
No.
Sounds like a great
idea. Do you think that's a good suggestion for us?
Very rarely.
I mean,
very rarely do
I know all the words to rap songs, and I don't know that any of them would be helpful in this situation.
Mm. You just
so
need
like
to
some
take the
old
beat
school
and then you
NWA
the
would not fit the bill?
No. I mean, I really got the Fresh Prince theme down. I can do Baby Got Back, like... End to end.
I got a lot of things. I got a lot of Eminem.
This is a story all about.
I mean, I've got Gangsta's Paradise
down.
Just off
Ooh,
the dome. I
one.
Could do for sure, but
you got skills.
To create our own seems well outside our skill set.
Yeah,
probably.
I mean, give me 20 minutes, and I could probably change some lyrics in the Fresh Prince rap to be, you know, topical for us, but that's about as good as it's going to get.
When I was in high school, my friend and I ran for class president, and that was
like as a team?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's very surprising.
It was very common. And our speech was to the Fresh Prince theme song.
Classic.
And
it was
pretty rad. Unfortunately, we didn't win because the people that won promised that they would get a Slurpee machine.
Oh, shit.
Yeah,
you had no chance.
They did not get a Slurpee machine.
Liars.
Also, follow-up question about the rap that you did.
Mm-hmm.
Was it the extended version
that
you would see
was.
Sometimes,
mm-hmm.
but
I
not
think,
always?
I think it was. I mean, it was literally like 50 years ago, so...
Okay, yeah. It was like how I looked the last time I shaved.
I actually was the original creator of the Fresh Prince theme for my high school presidency speech. They copied it for the show.
Will Smith was like in the audience and he was like, "Ooh, these guys got some good." No, it was his cousin and he phoned him up and he was like,
"Hey,
Will,
you know
Will,
that sound
it's your
you've
cousin,
been looking for?
Marvin Smith.
That sound you've been looking for." These little white girls, they got it going on.
My friend was
it's like
not
a reverse
white,
bring it
actually.
On.
Oh, I'm
oh,
sorry.
Well.
Sorry.
Still I mean, a reverse bring it on.
It's still.
Yeah.
It was, yeah. You missed a lot of good stuff there, Russ.
Yeah.
I'll hear it in post story. I'll just relive it like I was there and I'll talk like I was there. You know?
If
I'm sure you guys left some blanks
into our conversation and I hear that in the
You'll
bloopers, I'm going to lose my mind.
He's writing. Insert self into conversation.
just like you'd Photoshop yourself into family pictures that you weren't a part of.
It'll be totally off topic and out of context, and it'll work great.
I love it.
I had one of those too, and then the wheels fell off, and then it was useless. That's what I say when I join in a conversation that I know nothing about what they're talking about.
Oh, I like it.
Excellent.
Like, it's my, it's a so good like way they'll in. Be talking and I'll come in and I'll be like, oh my God, right? Me too. I had one of those and then the wheels fell off and then it was useless.
I love it.
I hope I get to use that at PodCon.
I bet you
sounds
will.
Sounds like a real power move.
I'm sure I
guaranteed.
Will.
You could probably just walk up to any group of people and do that.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Then slap a sticker on their forehead and walk away.
And get charged with assault and yeah, end a podcast.
My God. Yeah. End up in a foreign prison.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's right? A foreign yep. prison.
Foreign yeah. prison. It's not my prison.
Okay, fuck it. We're playing D&D.
Good thing you already said it.
Yeah.
I know.
Because that one was
getting the conversation
we playing.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Dungeons & Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production.
The Fable & Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish. In June of 2020, an amateur podcaster disappeared from the Carson National Forest while searching for the legendary Finn treasure.
But he was adamant that he was onto something big. He was obsessed. He showed her some hand-drawn map to a treasure out in northern New Mexico.
The Subjective Truth is part treasure hunt, part paranormal docudrama. Starring Addison Peacock as Graham Anderson.
Back at home, I placed the box on the counter, and I just stared at it for a while. You'd never be able to guess its social impact on the human race by looking at its simplistic design.
UFOs, ghosts, reincarnation, and liars. This is The Subjective Truth. Subscribe now. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.